There's coming a time, perhaps very soon, when the judgments that God has been saving up will be poured out upon an unbelieving and Christ-rejecting world. We read about the plagues that result from the pouring out of the vials of judgments in Revelation chapter 16. Look at the fifth vial, verses 10 and 11. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Where's the judgment concentrated? The throne of the beast. Satan has a throne. Once it was in Pergamos, according to chapter 2. I don't know where it is now. But he has a throne somewhere in this world. When Satan entered the beast, he became a smooth talker and a powerful doer. They boasted, "Who was like unto him?" They added, "Who is able to make war with him?" Here's the answer. God is able. What does he do with the tongue with which he blasphemed God? He bites it. He's called the angel of light. What about that light now? It's turned into darkness. When Jesus came to this earth, the people that walked and sat in darkness saw a great light. But many turned from that light. Why? Because Satan transformed himself into an angel of light, and the people turned to him. Now their light and Satan's light is turned into darkness. Their hopes vanish. They grope in darkness and despair. They gnaw their tongues with pain. Does the groping in darkness and the gnawing in distress cause them to change? Oh no, they don't repent. They continue to blaspheme the God of heaven. When you see the powerlessness of Satan and God's punishment upon Satan and his sinners, is there any wonder he keeps this book of Revelation closed? Is there any wonder why Satan doesn't want you to understand this book? The sixth vial, verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. One of the interesting things in the Bible, one of the mightiest miracles, is the drying up of rivers. God dried up a path through the Red Sea in order to deliver his children and destroy his enemies. 40 years later, he stopped the river Jordan and gave Joshua and his host a dry passage through to the promised land, where they were used of God to destroy Jericho and the Canaanites. Now he dries up the great Euphrates. This great river has played the part of a boundary throughout all history. It runs a distance of about 1,800 miles. And it has been a boundary between the people of the east and the west. Here we see the boundary removed by God. Why? So that the way may be prepared for the coming of the kings of the rising of the sun. To whom does this refer? The oriental rulers. What will they do? Descend upon the Middle East for the final world conflict. Aren't we witnessing today the rising powers of such countries as Japan, China, and others? What will bring these countries together to battle? Unclean spirits like frogs, according to verses 13 and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. These spirits of the devil will work miracles. They'll be commissioned to bring the kings of the earth to the battle of Armageddon. But you may ask, how is such a war possible when there's a world government under the control of Satan and the beast? This reflects a conflict among the nations. His world empire will begin to disintegrate. Why? They'll see his power begin to wane. Then the various armies will contend for honors on the battlefield. They'll combine their efforts against Christ and his army from heaven. Just as the kings of the earth are brought to the place of judgment, to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, a cry comes from God in verse 15, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Before the last bowl of judgment is poured out, the Lord speaks again. To the sinners? No, to the saints. Which saints? The church? No, the tribulation saints. The church has already been raptured, but this is a lesson for us. Our Lord urges or warns them to watch, to keep their garments, lest they walk naked. What's the meaning? This is very interesting. Keeping the garment has nothing to do with keeping saved. Why? Well, we're kept by the power of God. What does it mean then? The dress in our Lord's day was an all-covering garment. It was laid aside when one went to sleep, and it was put on when one got up. Now, should something happen when one's asleep, such as the arrival of the Lord, one who's asleep doesn't have time to clothe himself. So he'll walk naked, that is, he'll be ashamed. So the Lord urges a wakeful attitude, and we need to be careful lest we'll be ashamed before him at his coming, says John in 1 John 2:28. I don't want to be doing anything for which I will be ashamed when the Lord comes. I don't want to be useless, fruitless, workless, prayerless, so that I'll be ashamed when the Lord comes. Therefore, I'm going to watch. I'm going to pray. I'm going to work. I'm going to witness. I'm going to win the lost to the Lord. I'm going to be busy in preparation for his coming, for I want to please Jesus. He did so much to please me. How can I do anything but please him? Friends, Let's go all out to please the Lord Jesus Christ.